This is Jeanette and Jay John, Asian Pop Radio.
Asia-wide hits 24/7. If you haven't subscribed to us on iTunes yet, you've got to get onto that. Make sure you head to iTunes, search for Asian Pop Radio. And when you find us, subscribe and you will get a whole heap of content delivered to you as soon as it's posted. So we usually, on average, have about 10 to 15 podcasts a week. More and more content going up shortly. And you'll be able to, you know, be informed on all sorts of things. Like over the last couple of months, we've interviewed a heap of Singaporean artists like Gilded Edge. Who else have we interviewed? I can't think off the top of my head because it is late in the day. Come on, Jace, think of it. Who else have we had? Nah, it's escaping me right now. But look, tons of stuff and, you know, heaps of Malaysian musicians, people that you might not have heard of before. Well worth checking out our podcast feed. If you do like what you hear, we would love if you can rate and review it because in this crazy podcast world, we need all the support we can because there's heaps and heaps and heaps of different podcasts out there. But if you rate us, give us a nice rating and just write one little review. Might only take 10 seconds, like thumbs up, good work, whatevs. That will help people find us and it will be immensely helpful. Now, Cassandra, you are the world's oldest K-pop fan. debated by some, but we're going to go with it. What have you been up to? What have you been keeping yourself busy with?
Oh, well, a lot of people have been posting a lot online about the new season of Produce 101.
Right.
Season 2, the boys' version. So,
okay.
Finally had a chance to sit down and check some of that out, which has been pretty interesting.
Now, the last season was the season responsible for launching AOA, wasn't it? No, not AOA.
Yeah.
Yes, AOA.
Way. 101.
101, that's the one.
101, yep.
IOI. That's because AOA, yeah. Ace of Angels, I'm getting confused.
Yes, different group altogether.
IOI. And that was hugely successful. So I'm assuming that we can only imagine that a boy group will be just as popular.
Yeah, well, it looks like they want to actually, well, they've actually come out this week to say that they're not going to rule out the fact they may actually have two groups come out of this season.
Ooh.
The talent is so good. We'll perhaps, just have to wait and see.
Perhaps maybe a 3 a.m. and a 3 p.m.
That's very original.
Yeah. I was watching the remake of Beauty and the Beast yesterday, and there was a quote in there that I absolutely loved. You know the clock in the film?
Yeah.
The old clock. He said, "There's only two times a day that a broken clock is correct." And I had to think. And I had to think about it for a couple minutes. But once I got it, it was hilarious.
That's such a dad joke.
I know. I was having a great time. But look, so far, so good with the series.
Yeah, well, it's there's so much good talent, and also there's a couple of guys from Newest are in this season as well. We got Ren's in there, but is it JR and I forget what the other guy's name is. John Jonghyun. Off the top of my head, I'm not really sure because I'm not a real Newest fan, but I've spotted Ren straight away.
As you would,
even though he hasn't got blonde hair. So, yeah, there's a lot of good talent into this year. One guy is just like this little pocket, little cutie you just want to pick up and put in your pocket and carry around. He's so talented.
Wow, that might be illegal.
Well, for the world's oldest K-pop fan, quite possibly. But he's only 13.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, adorable.
Yeah, so they're all kind of, one of the guys in particular has taken a big brother shine to him, which is quite cute to see in the show.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Must be tough for a 13-year-old to be in a comp like that.
Yeah, well, I think by 13 in our age, 14 Korean age.
True.
So, and he's already been a trainee for 3 years.
Yeah, and kids are so polished in the media these days.
I know. It's ridiculous.
I was cramping myself the first time I went on a microphone and I was 20. I'm going to turn home. Well, I'm going to go back.
You've done well so far.
Thanks, Cassandra. Now I can't shut up.
Yeah, good day.
So lots of other K-pop news that we've covered in the last 7 or 8 days because you are our news director and they're coming through thick and fast, like WM Entertainment, who manage B1A4. They've announced that they'll be launching a new group. That sounds pretty exciting.
Yeah, it does. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see. They're going to be launching an upcoming festival, the IdolCon Festival,
end of May. Yeah.
See how good the boys go. They may actually either add a few more trainees to the group. group and keep them, you know, having a few little practice runs until they get the format of the guys right, and then they're going to come out with a name for them then.
So they're going to come out at the start with WM Boys for the time being until they give them a new name.
Yeah, very generic. Right. So, yeah.
And speaking of new names, and I thought this was kind of weird. So Red Velvet, they've come out, they've asked their fans to come up with a name for themselves because every K-pop group has their own fan base. And why only now, like two or 3 years into them actually being around, right?
That's what I'm confused about. Well, I mean, it's quicker than FX, isn't it? So
amazing.
Yeah.
Why did it take them so long?
Who knows? I mean, like I said, you know, X fans, you know, waiting. So who knows why it takes them. Some groups, they seem to get a name straight away, and others, they just can't seem to settle on one. So, but I like that they've taken the approach of letting the fans pick.
It's really nice, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
As opposed to the traditional, you will be what we tell you to be.
Yeah, babies, BAP, don't start me on that. Just, you know, as an older fan, I really hate it. But, you know, I'm proud to be a baby, don't get me wrong. So the Red Velvet fans now are going to be called Revi Love.
Bit weird.
I don't even know if I've pronounced that right. So it's Re from Red, V-E from Velvet, and Love, which is what they have for their fans.
Wow. So, hopefully, anyway.
Yeah.
You would hope that's not a unique thing for a K-pop group to love their fans.
Yes, well, they're making money for you guys.
Well, speaking of making money, one of the other big news stories across the week was the amount of money that is being made in the entertainment industry in Korea. Sounds like the South Korea is now, the third biggest market for filmmaking.
Yeah, that really surprised me, actually, when I saw that. And that was behind America, of course, and the UK.
Amazing.
And considering how big the Bollywood industry is, that's a pretty big coup for South Korea.
Really is, bringing in $320 million.
Yeah, that's nothing to be sneezed at, is it?
It is not. It is not at all. I could do with even just one of those millions of dollars that they really wanted to pass it on.
Yeah. I mean, if they just casually wanted to, feel free to share it around. I mean, it just goes to show how popular they're getting. They're actually starting to show TV programs in Africa now.
Wow.
I think it was Cameroon just signed on to have Bridal Mask going to be shown there regularly in primetime TV too. So they're doing very big things.
And finally, and this was a little bit earlier in the week last week, but the devotion of the K-pop fans standing up for what they believe in, Cassandra, do you remember which one I'm talking about?
Was that the XOL?
Yes. So the Korean XOL are going a little bit overboard in some of our opinions. They've been tweeting for fellow fans to demand the sacking of a billboard writer. What did he do wrong, Cassandra?
Yeah, well, we briefly talked about this last week, actually. you might remember I mentioned that he'd commented that he'd interviewed BTS and that he was very proud of the interview.
Yeah.
That was it. That's the whole point of the upset and argument with XOLs. And they just believe now that he's showing favoritism to BTS by saying that. How they got that out of, you know, a 5-word sentence, I don't know.
Wow.
But they've been calling up Billboard, demanding he get sacked and demanding that they get in a writer who actually knows about K-pop and has very different opinions and, yeah, they're going over the top.
Look, I'm sure people have written about K-pop in the past without knowing too much about K-pop. It's like, every year or a year and a half, someone, writes an article about K-pop in Australia like it's the first time anyone's discovered it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they seem to think that apart from Psy, nobody else knows anything else about K-pop. So they're the ones that are going to introduce us. Yeah.
Ah, well.
But if they only knew how much K-pop was coming our way this year, I think they'd be very surprised.
Yeah. And excuse me. I mean, I hope that there's more people out there like Asian Pop Radio trying to, you know, diversify the pop scene a bit and introduce people to something a little bit different, because there's a lot of good talent out there. It's not all just at K-pop in Korea, but there's lots of things outside in Japan, Taiwan, Malaysia, Singapore.
Yeah, exactly. And actually, there was an interesting article I read by, I don't know who the writer was, but it was a Perth writer in one of the newspapers, did an article about GOT7 and them touring. And it was a very well-written article, and it was good to see somebody actually covering it.
Oh, very nice. And it's good for Perth as well, no doubt.
Yeah, oh, definitely. I mean, they're always saying they're left out, and, you know, I feel for them. But, so it was good for them to have the opportunity to have the guys go over there.
It's good for me to have an opportunity to talk to you, Cassandra.
Oh, shucks, you made my day.
She's like, great, he's winding up, okay.
Yeah, carry up, get me off.
If you play your cards right. How do we find you, Cassandra? And not to get you off. Well, to keep
tabs. If you're interested, you can find me on YouTube. You can find me on Facebook.
Tinder.
You can find me on. Yeah, swipe right. I'm everywhere.
Oh, wow. All right.
I'm available everywhere.
And thanks for your news updates. Thanks for the news each day. Really appreciate it.
No worries. Let's hope we have some interesting stuff to bring to the listeners this week.
And hopefully, in the meanwhile, we can find you Somebody to Love, which is also our next song by Big Bang.
Very clever.
Bit of a classic. Just like you, Cassandra.
All right. Thanks, mate.
Asian Pop Radio. Asia White Hits 24/7, this is Asian Pop Radio, and that was a classic for Big Bang, Somebody to Love. And we know you're going to love these guys here on the phone right now. We're crossing all the way to Perth to have a chat to Dance Crew Made in Asia. How are you going, girls?
We're good.
So, Leticia, firstly, I'll throw it to you guys to tell me, whoever wants to answer this first can answer it. We'll take it as it comes. But where did you guys get started?
Okay, so basically, we started off in high school as a group of friends, and we saw this K-pop performance by a crew called CGC Legacy. We saw them perform the classic Sorry, Sorry by Super Junior and Shy Boy by Secret, and we just fell in love with, the K-pop and the dance. So we decided to, get together as a group of friends and start dancing. And I opened my own channel, my solo channel, and over the years, my passion for dancing grew. And I decided to put more of that passion into making our crew bigger and to improve our quality and that kind of stuff. Yeah, it kind of just grew.
Yeah, so we started off with six original members being Leticia, me, Anna, Nadia, Bowan, Dee and Caitlin. So it was our six just friends. We were in different year groups, so we really worked really hard just to get our first performance, which was a live performance at this same event, but the year after, where we formed a medley of Miss A and Girls' Generation songs. So that's essentially how we got done.
Now, when you became a crew, were you aware of any other K-pop dance crews in Perth at the time?
Yeah, we were pretty close with one of the other crews, KCDC. We used to go to their classes quite a lot when we were younger. That was really the only other crew we knew.
Right. So those guys actually got started a little bit before you, did they?
Yeah, just a couple of years before us.
Okay.
Just a couple of years.
Now, so you were actually...
This is 2012, so just a year or two before us, but Kaotsun, the leader, was a lot older and had a lot more experience, so she managed to get that up a lot quicker than us, just because we had the passion, but we just really didn't have the leverage to start.
Right, 2000...
They were absolute inspiration to us.
2012, so they must have been quite early in the biz then, right, for Australia?
Yeah.
I think Kaotsun was one of the first cover dancers on YouTube, actually.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Okay, so you guys actually both performed at the Strictly K-pop event the other night. How did it go? Was it the first time you were at the event?
No, we also performed at the launch party for Strictly K-pop, which was in March, and that was just performances. This event, we did a dance battle with KCDC.
Now, it sounded like the first event, the first Strictly K-pop event, sold out completely, and it sounded like the event on Thursday was going down that path as well. Was there a good turnout?
Yeah, we had a pretty good turnout on Thursday as well. We had two more DJs, so we had bigger variety of music, some older K-pop stuff and some more R&B stuff. But it was also such a really big hit. I was really surprised.
That's awesome. So, guys, what's been your highlight so far as a group? Would it have been an appearance that you've had on stage, a particular competition, maybe even Strictly K-pop itself?
Probably our biggest thing that really solidified us as a crew was our cover of Ice Cream Cake in early 2016. That's really when we started to up the quality of our dance and get a lot more serious, and also the quality of our filming as well. So that was kind of a pivotal moment for our crew.
Another performance that we really liked was probably Spring Feast, because it was the first time we performed at a uni event.
Right.
And there was a lot of people who turned out, and it was just so great, seeing all the K-pop fans cheering together and that kind of stuff.
The scene's definitely growing in Perth at the moment, isn't it? I mean, over the last few years, you've had a couple more artists come here and there, obviously GOT7 not too long ago. Do you feel like the local community is growing, getting behind K-pop and also dance crews?
Definitely. We used to be a really small group, but we were always very close-knit, like, as K-popers in Perth. We've got, like, a Facebook group and everything. But it's definitely growing. I mean, having regular K-pop clubbing events certainly shows that. And it's been really amazing just how close everyone's been getting.
But you guys still get a little bit of a raw deal there, don't you? I mean, obviously, the rest of the country just watches everything announced for Sydney, and Melbourne's been having a little bit more luck, but Perth, you know, gets a bit of the short straw, don't they?
Yeah, we do. I remember in 2013 when we had the Feel Korea concert. And we had just having big names like M Black and Ailee perform there. We were so excited. Like, it was, we didn't think it would ever happen. And then we had GOT7, obviously. We're like, we just get so excited when it does happen. So
yeah,
it is like not as often, but we still appreciate it just as much.
No, I get the feeling that many people just can't, unless they're connected to dance crews, they don't really understand the amount of work that goes into practicing and trying to, you know, create a video and the editing of it and the moves in itself. Like, how much time do you guys each week, like how much time are you putting into your crew practicing, you know, working on videos?
Well, recently we've had to practice for a lot of performances. So obviously we had Strictly K-pop last week, and we've got two more coming up as well. So we probably practice maybe once or twice, but like usually the rehearsals would be 4 hours around in length. And, you know, we have to put together different sets for each performance and that kind of thing. So, and filming itself takes up a lot of time as well, because we actually have a cover coming out soon, which we spent a lot of time filming because we did 2 locations and we worked with a videographer. So that took about, I think, 8 hours to film.
Yeah, we've got wonderful Valerie from Tam Productions here in Perth. She really did a lot for us with all her equipment, and it's a really professional shoot. We're really excited to release our new cover this week.
That's awesome, guys. We'll be looking out for it. One more question. Like, if you could perform anywhere on the globe, where would it be? Where would you love to perform? And perhaps even who would you be loving to perform beside?
Oh, well, you're talking to 3 of the oldest members here. So naturally, our biggest love for K-pop would have to be Big Bang. It would be amazing to perform with them. Even just one of them, like GD or Taeyang.
That would be awesome. I'd have to say, I can't dance to save my life, but I think I'd be up there with you. Well, guys, thank you so much for your time today. It's really great to get to know you, and I wish you all the best. But do us a favor, and can you keep in contact with us? Anytime you've got a video that you want to promote or anything you've got coming up you want to talk about, or even if you know other crews in Perth that you'd like to help promote, like just send them our way, yeah?
Yeah, definitely. Sounds good. Thanks so much for everything.
No worries. And can you please let us know, how do we find more information about Made in Asia? So how do we get to your Facebook page and anything else you've got going?
If you want to search us on YouTube, our YouTube name, if you type in Made in Asia Australia or Made in Asia Dance Crew, that usually comes up. We have an Instagram called Made in Asia Official that has our really cool logo and all promotional things. If you're a bit more of a Facebook person, we also have a Facebook page. If you just type in Made in Asia Australia or dance, that also comes up. And definitely if you want to do auditions, dancing, any of that, our dance classes are also through that as well.
Asianwide Hits 24/7. This is Asian Pop Radio. Today we're speaking to 2 different dance crews from Perth. We're very excited to say later in the show we'll be speaking to Made in Asia. And right now we've got the honour to speak to a few of the crew from KCDC. How are you going, guys?
Hi!
Now,
good.
Good, thanks. I admit to saying that we recorded our interview with Made in Asia a little bit earlier on, but the take-home message I got from those guys was that you guys have been in it for the long haul, and they look up to you. Isn't that nice?
Oh, that's really sweet of them.
So it was correct about 2012 that you guys got started?
Yeah, I actually started teaching in 2010, and I got asked to perform in 2012. And then I guess I just picked the students from my class and then formed a dance team together, and then we started performing from then.
That's awesome. And so what was the main motivation to get a crew started?
I think it was mostly for the performance purposes.
Because you needed more people?
Yeah, we needed more people on the stage. It couldn't just be me performing. So
you didn't want the spotlight to yourself?
Well, no, not really.
It sounds like you're modest. So what's been a highlight for the group so far? Like, is there a particular stage moment or event that you've performed at that, you know, rates highly?
Wow, there's been so much.
Yeah, we've been performing so many.
Yeah. I don't know.
We get like all the little highlights from each event.
Yeah.
And all of them are fun in their own ways.
In their individual ways, yeah.
Yeah, because like we also have like the K-pop events. And, they're the K-pop type and they're fun to do in their own way.
Yeah.
But we also done like J-pop performances in cosplay.
Right.
So that's also really unique in its own way.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of fun to dance in cosplay as well.
So do you find that both types of events, like the cosplay J-pop events and then the K-pop events, are they a bit of a different vibe or much the same thing?
They're pretty...
It's different because, like, it's two different
genres.
Yeah. And, like,
yeah.
I say the J-pop is just
very cute, very, maybe.
Yeah. Just from the ones that
we've done.
Yeah. They've been more cutesy things.
Yeah.
Extreme.
Yeah.
So what do you guys actually prefer? Do you prefer the more cutesy kind of girly moves, or do you prefer something that's a bit more darker, a bit more edgy?
Oh, the more extreme ones are fun.
Yeah.
I think we like a good balance between the two.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's a good, way to vent frustration, isn't it, through dance? So you can, you know, really put a bit of some guts behind it.
Emotion.
Yeah.
Now.
You go. Sorry, keep going. I was about to say that because, like, sometimes we have a lot of J-pop dances in a month. And we do get a bit tired of being too cute.
Yeah.
And that would be when we want to go back and do like all the hardcore K-pop stuff. But that's about it.
Yeah.
I'm just picturing like you're all cutesy on stage, big smiles, ponytails, and then, you know, everyone cheers. You walk off the stage and then one of you just like smashes a bottle against the wall and it's like, you know, J-rock band gone wrong.
I agree.
There's like the public versus the backstage moment.
It's over.
So guys, last Thursday you're performing at the Strictly K-pop event and you had a battle. Who won the battle?
I think the crowd were pretty loud for KCDV, but I would have to say it looked like we both won.
That's good. So how does the group work? Like how many people are involved in the group and, you know, does the lineup change from time to time? Like how often do things change it up a bit?
Yeah, so from back when we first started, we had about six to seven members. And then in 2015, we auditioned for more members and we got about five more.
Right. Mm-hmm. How many people tried out?
Last year, we had another. We usually have quite a bit. I'm not sure, maybe
30 people because it was 20, in the studio, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
20 to 30 people usually.
That's all right.
I think the last audition we had, we only probably had like 17 people.
Yeah.
And I wanted all of them. No way we can't have that big of a crew.
So who are some of the other dance crews that you really love? Like you love their work ethic or you love the way they perform together or their videos? Like who are some of the ones that stand out for you?
To be completely honest, I myself haven't been on YouTube for quite a while. I've just been focusing a lot on KCDC.
Yeah.
And I really haven't paid attention to any crews, unfortunately.
Don't worry. I get the same question. I have people saying to me all the time, like, oh, what do you think of the new video? What do you think of the new K-drama? Like, all I do is work. I don't get time to watch dramas.
It's a bit sad, but we do have a couple of crew members who watch a lot of YouTube covers.
Yeah.
And they would know better than the three of us that you have with you today, unfortunately.
I know East West, I think.
I think a lot of us are
East West. Yeah. Or Ryzen Crew.
Sorry, are you talking specifically in Perth?
Anywhere at all. So in Australia or overseas?
No, I watch a lot of covers, but like, there's so many covers.
There's so many covers.
Yeah,
well, I was going to say there are so many crews, especially around Australia and, you know, a lot in Melbourne, a lot in Sydney, some in Brisbane as well. Like, it could, I mean, boy, if we had the right event, we could have a hell of a dance party.
Yeah.
Oh, it would have been so cool.
I mean, I think we need to find someone to sponsor that and we'll make it happen together. Where would be your ideal place to perform? Like, is there a particular competition you're aware of anywhere in the world that you'd like to be part of but you haven't yet?
Anyway.
You just said kicker.
Okay,
Teisha. Oh my god.
Well, Lizzie said KCON and Becca said the Cover Dance Festival.
I think that would be good. It's so far for you guys to have to get to, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we did get into finals for the Cover Dance Festival 1 year, but due to reasons, we could not make it to Sydney.
Oh, that's a shame. So that really I flagged the idea with Jared the other day that I think K-pop fans and the rest of Australia, especially on the East Coast, should all be putting in a fund to support our K-pop friends and our dance crews in Perth to help them get over to concerts in Sydney and Melbourne. I think it's only fair, right?
That would be super sweet.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for your time today. It's been great getting to know you. Can you let us know how we can find out more information about KCDC, like your YouTube channel or Facebook page, whatever you've got?
Yep. So we have all three. We're active on all three, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. So if you just look up KCDC or Cousins Cover Dance Crew, you'll be able to find us.
Easy peasy.
Easy peasy. Thanks so much, guys, for your time today.
Thank you.
And it's been really good getting to know you. And anytime you've got anything you'd like to talk about or if you put up a new video, please make sure you get in contact so we can have a chat again.
No, that was great. Thank you so much for having us with you today.
And now I think you need to go back to practice, right?
Probably.
Yeah, probably.
You're working hard. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much.
Asian Pop Radio. That's it for another episode of Asian Pop Radio. I've been Jay John. Thanks to everyone involved. Thanks to Robert, our producer. Thanks to Juby, our audio production person. Thanks to Cassandra, Made in Asia, KCDC, the news team, and Travis for our music. Stick around for the top 10 countdown. It's coming up very, very soon. Once again, thanks to Trav. Asia Wide Hits 24/7. This is Asian Pop Radio.